Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a social psychologist who specializes in relationship building and the director of our own human relations consulting firm, Personal Presence, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, do you like to dance? Would you like to learn to dance? Do you think that if you learned to dance or if you danced more, then you might find life more enjoyable? Do you think it would help you get healthier, stay fit? Do you think it would improve your love life? Well, I think all of the above are true. So I'm just laughing because my engineer Earl is just saying, yeah. So if you're interested in anything about dancing and what it has to do with your relationships, stay tuned because I'm really happy to introduce you to you again, Mark James, who is back from last week's show. And Mark James is a professional dance instructor, coach, choreographer, and performer. Welcome back, Mark.
I'm glad to be here. Back, Dr. Duffy.
Yes. So we were looking last week at that people need to learn to trust each other more, the whole aspect of trust. We're looking at dancing as personal growth, finding out more about who you are, enhancing your relationships. You're looking at the yin-yang. I was very intrigued with what you said last week about men are more used to using the large muscle groups in moving a car or pushing something heavy, and they have to learn the more finite, smaller muscles to use when they're dancing. And women who are more used to small muscle movement need to learn to use more muscle strength when they're dancing. And then I was telling you about that my husband, when we first met, thought that I was an athlete because of how he saw me dance on the dance floor. And then he always kissed me to this day because I'm not at all an athlete, except I dance. And you're going to tell me dancing is athletic, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that's where you were going when you said I disagree with you.
When you watch, I like watching baseball, okay, you watch anything done from a swing, you start noticing at the beginning of a swing or beginning of a throw how the body moves. They're all dancing actions. A good hip action.
Right.
Comes from a good backhand.
Uh-huh.
Or a good forehand. You actually have to turn the whole body, get what we call line.
Right.
And line is the system where the best way to explain line on the radio would be is if you actually just throw a frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel that the line that goes from the top of your head to the back of your back leg. If I threw the foot frisbee with my right arm, my body from my left toe all the way up to my head creates line.
Mm-hmm.
A very natural aspect of this. And these are things that are just happen.
Yes.
You watch any athlete who's on in the, what I use is in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when there's a beauty, aesthetic beauty that goes into it, and dancers have a tendency, that's what we aim for.
Right.
Recreating line all the time.
Huh.
And when you spend a whole evening, let's say, of doing salsa all evening, like an hour doing salsa, your heart rate's going to get up pretty high also. So you're going to get the aerobic tendency to move also.
Right. You
get yourself in pretty good shape. Or you could buy yourself like a workout piece of equipment and do it at home and just stare at a wall.
Right. So dancing is good for everything. It's good for the physical activity, for the aerobic activity, and it helps you have more of a sense of fun if you allow it to have more of a sense of fun. And it also can enhance your relationships, or it can be destructive in your relationships.
Oh, definitely.
So what have you noticed when you see people dance, when you teach couples dance lessons?
There's some couples that I sometimes teach where one of the partners has to be always right. and one has to be always has to be the perpetual victim wrong.
Oh.
And my goal is to let them know that at point of a development of a team, there is no right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
As long as you keep moving forward to get better,
right.
You will keep. And there's a saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you know it, you go, oh, that didn't mean you were wrong.
Right.
You were the best you could be at that point in time with the knowledge and the experience you have.
Right.
I also say that everyone's perfectly imperfect for that moment
mm-hmm.
in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say most people do not go out of their way to do something wrong to their significant other.
Right.
Usually it's a simple misunderstanding, a use of a word that one word means one thing because they're just really words, but they have emotional underpinnings to them all the time. What might be one person's pebble could be another person's boulder. And you see that a lot in the when you're teaching. Something that would not bother one student at all, the other one will take to such an extent and personalize it.
So do you, in some ways, actually kind of counsel couples when you're giving them dance lessons? How do you get them to stop fighting or...
I don't let them.
You don't let them?
I'm the ultimate nudge.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I told some of my students that I was going to be on this interview by you, and it was going to be on relationships, and my joke was, Karen, my girlfriend, is going to sit by me with a barbecue fork to make sure I don't say the wrong thing.
Right.
Right, Karen? Yeah, that's right. Because I honestly think you need to stress the system a little, but you need to stress it in a loving manner.
Okay.
Because when you stress the system, you destabilize it.
Oh, okay.
And there has to be a little destabilization for learning.
Oh.
Otherwise, you wouldn't want to learn because you don't take chances.
Oh, my goodness. That's fascinating. So you need to destabilize a little bit to learn, but not so much that a person gets, discouraged.
Right. That's the worst thing. And
yeah.
And that's a good point in using the word discouraged. People go to a dance. First thing they see is, one of my dances, I'll have 150 people there. They see 150 people on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They do the MTV moment.
Uh-huh.
They will look. Let's say first time you've been to a dance or you're taking 10 lessons, you really know a couple patterns, and you feel good about yourself, and you should. You go to the dance, you see 150 people, you look at each one of them as your eye flirts from one person to another person, another couple, another couple, another couple, to another couple. You have just made one person in the room that knows 7,000 dance steps.
Oh.
Really? And what I teach with my couples, I tell them, watch one person, count out the piece of music, and realize how little they do know patterns, but not as many as you think they do.
Okay.
And then they realize, oh, I can do this.
Okay.
Because when you think that you're never going to make it to a high level of proficiency, it's very easy. Life is rough enough as it is.
Wow.
It's rough. If you don't think you can make it, you're not going to try. And when you start realizing, letting them know how to destabilize the system, look at it differently.
Right.
Because they don't know what I already know, which I've learned through my own experiences.
Huh. You know, I never thought to look at it that way, Mark, and it reminds me of how I counsel my students when I teach them how to go on job interviews, and because that's one thing that I do at times, and when people go on group interviews and they get so frightened, they're being interviewed by a whole group of people, I talk to them about really just concentrating on one person at a time. It's one person who's asking you the question, and you answer that one person, and then you can look around at the other people, but basically you're addressing that person who asked you the question. And I never thought to just look at one couple for any length of time, and it's true. You go into a dance, and you see everybody dancing up a storm, and you say, oh my goodness, everyone knows dancing so well here, I'm going to be a slub or something. So that's a very good tip to teach people. And this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. We are Just Relationships, WHPC 90.3 FM. and we are helping you communicate. If you would like to learn more about Mark James and where he holds his dances and gives his dance lessons, and I know you are in Nassau and Suffolk, right?
Correct.
Mark, in your dance lessons, and you actually hold your dances in Wantagh.
Correct.
And if you'd like to learn more about Mark James, and he also promised us a list of names of places to go, commercial places, which we can't give on public radio, but if you call us at 516-572-7438, that's 516-572-7438, we'd be happy to give you all of that information. Okay, so we have to destabilize, but not too much. And you don't let couples fight?
No. I learned a long time ago that if they come to me and for my experience, and I just will make sure that, and you have to do that in a loving manner, because sometimes they will think that you're becoming over-controlling.
Uh-huh.
But it's like it always comes to the same thing. I lost my train of thought. Give me 1 second, please, Dr. Duffy.
Sure, of course. And meanwhile, I'll tell everyone the number of WHPC again, 516-572-7438. That's 572-7438. 90.3 FM. Are you back yet, Mark?
I'm totally back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I sometimes use an acronym that goes with the word SCORE.
Uh-huh.
And the word SCORE goes with the word, like S is self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
C would be concentration. O goes with optimism. R goes with relaxation. E goes for enjoyment.
Mm.
And every time we get a couple come, and I got this from I can't remember the gentleman who wrote the book, but I got like this because couples come in with different levels of optimism.
Right.
Different levels of relaxation.
Uh-huh.
Different levels of enjoyment.
And C is for concentration?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And S is self-discipline. Like you
right.
can be really self-disciplined.
Right.
If you want to get in great shape and all you do is work out and you forget you're supposed to have some kind of goal. Maybe you want to run a marathon. Maybe you want to go swimming in something. But it maybe like for Karen and I, we work out. That's a self-discipline, but we love our dancing, so we get the enjoyment from being in better shape to be able to do more interesting combinations when we dance.
Oh, you also work out?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I would love, ideally, to be able to get all my physical exercise just from dancing. But you dance a lot, and you still work out.
Yes, but I'm also along the line of being like a professional athlete.
Right, okay.
Because with what I do, with the overhead lifts, the routines are all around around 3 to 4 minutes long.
Wow.
And when you're doing a routine, the goal is to make sure everything looks smooth.
Right, right.
Because you're trying to create, the way my take on the routine is, an emotional experience.
Oh.
And if I'm lifting my partner overhead and I'm breathing heavy and I look like I'm going to drop her, unless I'm trying to scare the audience.
Right.
I'm not creating what I want.
Right.
And you, in a professional show, you might do like 3 numbers in a row. It's around 2 minutes between each one, so you have to get your heart rate down right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to look as nervous or exhausted as you might be, you want to look at least calm and create the illusion of why they came here. People do the dance to forget about what's going on in their regular lives.
Right.
This is their vacation without spending a couple thousand to go on vacation.
Yes, it is like, that's a good example. It is like going on vacation when my husband and I go out dancing. It really transports one into a different world, a different mindset, a different just way of just being in your body. I just think it's a wonderful way to be social and to be in relationship. Now, you were also saying that people communicate differently at dances.
One of the things I tell my students, Dr. Duffy, being a male, I have a lot of couples and I have a lot of female students I teach to dance. And they will come back from a dance because generally a lot of females start in the 40s. I have a lot. I know people start in the 30s, but I have a lot in the 40s that have been through a divorce or a couple of bad relationships. And they really don't have, they don't really trust themselves yet. So they go out dancing. They found this great new hobby. They love it. And all of a sudden they're dancing with someone, and the guy decides to correct them. He doesn't know her. Just met her. And he's trying to show off. He's trying to show off the best patterns he knows. And she's been dancing, let's say, 6 months. And she comes back a little frustrated. And I tell the ladies, I said, this is a dead giveaway of what you don't want.
Mm.
You really want to get involved with someone that the first time something doesn't go right, they start bossing you around and acting disgusted and having no patience.
Right.
They gave you a gift.
Yes, yes.
I said, you're getting better. Everything's going to be fine. The other thing I teach my students is the fact is I am a really good dancer myself, excellent what I do, but there's nothing magical that when you dance with me that you do things that you should can't do with anyone else that knows how to lead you correctly. So if you can do it with me, my students have a little mantra, if I can do it with Mark, I can do, should be able to do it with any dancer. Some people are just too heavy in correcting the ladies.
Wow.
And they go, well, you can dance with Mark, can't dance with this guy. It's not like you went brain dead between me and that next gentleman. And to build their confidence, and there's lovely ladies and there's a great gentleman that just are very supportive, very caring, remembering how it was when they were learning to dance.
Right, right.
And sometimes even in the dancing, people think that dances are a little clicky. Most people that I've met in the ballroom and the salsa scenes and the West Coast swing scenes, there is always a clicky group. But most of the people that are learning it are like the friendliest people around. They're just extremely shy. So they don't, a lot of them are shy. They don't want to say anything because they're scared they're going to say the wrong thing. They wait too long to say anything, and inadvertently people they come across to people as being a little uppity. And really, they're just trying to be super polite.
And I agree with you. When I go to dance lessons where they're group lessons and people change partners, I find people to be very friendly. They really are trying to be very helpful. And I also noticed when you were talking, I was reminded of an article in Psychology Today where they were saying you can really learn the way a person is by the way he behaves in a sports game. And I think that is a great tip to give to men and women. How a person behaves on the dance floor with you is a good indicator of their character.
Oh, definitely, Dr. Duffy.
Yes, and I'm reminded, like when I first, my husband and I met at a dance, and we, our very first dance, it was as if we had been dancing together for centuries. We just absolutely clicked on the dance floor, and we were so in sync immediately. It was really phenomenal, and we are in sync in many ways in our lives, and we're looking at 27 years later.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So that is, that's really a good indicator to meet someone on the dance floor and how they behave toward you. So you mentioned before, Mark, you mentioned about men leading. What, you know, some people say that that's the only place that men actually get to lead these days. That it's interesting to me that dancing is one of the few traditional norms where you have a very strict demarcation of men leading and women following. What's your take on that?
Okay, I look at it like it's an exchange of energy. The man will, there's a great line from an Argentine tango DVD that I use at the college over here that says something to the thing, the man poses and the woman disposes. And it's pretty much how I teach my gentlemen. You initiate the lead like a 16th of a second or beat ahead of the lady. She then responds. When she's done responding completely, then you can initiate the next lead. So you have an exchange of energy going back and forth.
Oh, I see.
And when you get into dances like a little salsa, where the lady is allowed to then let the lady take off for a little bit just to dance.
Right.
And shine, add
right.
a little more rhythm, and you just let her dance along. West Coast Swing.
Right.
And some of these other dances, they add these nuances, Argentine Tango also. The lady is allowed to shine and just show off herself.
Oh.
And create a new connection, a new direction for the dance.
Well, that's probably why I like the salsa and West Coast Swing so much. I never thought of it that way, that the woman has more space to do her own thing.
Correct.
Huh. So do you think it's much harder for a man to dance then, because he also has to lead, he has to anticipate the next step?
No, I don't. I think they both have both are just as difficult, but different.
Okay.
The man has to initiate and then wait after he initiates. The lady has to wait long enough so that she doesn't guess what it is. When you
mm-hmm.
first learn a dance step, you have one, let's say, you have one exit out of a pattern.
Right.
As you get more advanced, all of a sudden that pattern, which still is only like around half a second long, between the transition to the next pattern, you have seven exits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only like a twist of the arm, a momentum of where you place the lady, where you don't place the lady, and then all of a sudden you can lead seven different ways. So the hardest thing for a lady is thinking she knows what's going to happen.
Right.
But still,
mm.
So she needs a lot of experiences for dance steps, but she does not know which one the gentleman is going to lead her into.
Right, right.
The one thing is that once a lady dances with the same gentleman four or five times, most people have only around 10 to 12 different dance patterns for each dance.
Oh, okay.
So that you will get to know what the gentleman, he does this, I always know it's going to end up here.
Right, right.
So.
Huh.
And that's okay. The social aspect of the dance world.
All right, so basically she has to kind of see if she can understand where he's leading her and be kind of open to his lead. Wherever he goes, she has to follow. She has to go along with that.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that famous line by Ginger Rogers. I'm sure you've heard it many times. Women have to do so much more work than men. They have to dance backwards and in high heels.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Karen wears great high heels, and she's very slender and very fit and very fluid. So you two make a beautiful couple on the dance floor, just to let everyone know that.
Well, thank
and congratulations
you.
Again on your engagement. Did you two meet on the dance floor?
Oh, we have an interesting story.
Yes.
Okay. Years ago, probably around 19... 22, we met down in Texas.
Huh.
Okay. Back, and we ended up, I was married, she was married.
Hmm.
Okay. We became family friends. Nothing ever happened. Everyone always assumed something happened. And I went through my divorce in 92, and we lost touch with each other back there, I guess around early 90s to probably around 3 years ago.
Oh.
And we bumped into each other at one of my dances. And a couple weeks after that, we bumped into each other at another dance. And I called her up on Memorial Day weekend, see if she wanted to see a movie. And the first movie we saw was in Bruce We Trust.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it just seemed to work out. I had pretty much at that point in time had given up on ever really dating ever again.
Mm.
I was just going to work on my million, and
uh-huh.
that's about it.
Uh-huh. So
and
was
like the universe had different directions for me, and it's kind of like been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I describe
wow.
her as like a good sports car. High performance, low maintenance.
High performance, low maintenance. Oh, lovely. High performance, low maintenance. Many men complain that women, or actually vice versa, many women and men complain that their partner is high maintenance. But high performance and Low maintenance. Boy, I'd love my husband to say that about myself. I don't think he'd say that about me, but I'm working on it. I'm definitely working on it. So was Karen also a dancer, or did you basically teach her most of dancing at this point?
No, she had a dance teacher years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she was highly successful, placing at national championships many times.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
so
then
she was
pretty
already...
much Yeah. After her divorce, she pretty much just ended up hanging out and dancing a lot in the salsa clubs.
I see.
And I got into doing more salsa because that's what she loves to do.
So you two met, you both were already dancers, and now you are a professional dance team and engaged. Oh, that's just lovely. And I want everyone to know that we are Just Relationships, 90.3 FM, WHPC, and I am interviewing Mark James, professional dance instructor, coach, choreographer, and performer. And if you would like to call us at 516-572-7438, that's 572-7438, we'd be happy to give you more information exactly on where Mark teaches and where his dances are. And they are in Wantagh, that much I can tell you. And Mark teaches both in Nassau and Suffolk counties. And also Mark has promised that he will give me a list of great places to go to dance for people of different ages. And I know a lot of these commercial dance places have different nights where they cater to different age groups. And I don't know how people learn this stuff. I swear, I look in the newspaper and I don't see the things that people tell me. Oh, you go here this night for this group and this night for that group. And I don't know how people learn these things. But Mark promised me that he will give me a list, which I will give to WHPC. And then you can call 572-7438 and find out where to go for all this good stuff. So... that's, you do promise that, right, Mark?
I promise that, Dr. Duffy.
So do you have, we have to end in just 30 seconds. Is there anything else you want to tell people about dancing?
It's one of the best things you can do for yourself. You can keep doing it and keep getting better the rest of your life. I just, the one thing I usually like to leave with most of my students is that to get good at it, you have to give yourself enough time to get it.
To get good at it, give yourself enough time to get it. You can do it lifelong like golf. Mark James, thank you so much. I want everyone to know that this was Mark James' first radio interview. You did great, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Duffy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And everyone wishing you great relationships. Bye for now.